Snapping. Anybody cold in here? Everybody hot? You've been rescued. It's on 70. Does it go to 60? Oh, hallelujah. Are you blessed? I'm waiting for my wife to give me my spare eyes. Honey, they're scratched. They can't be cleaned. Yes, I only have 40 pairs. I just don't know where the other 39 are. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Yay, glory to God. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. Because there's freedom. Freedom. The ultimate goal of every human being is to be free. The problem is they think freedom's outside when it's actually inside. Yeah. Free in your spirit. For what? Because God wants to merge with your spirit. And when our spirit is contaminated, it's bound. And the enemy loves to bind us in every area. That's when he comes. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The only reason why he can do that is because we allow him access to us. Amen? But the spirit, your spirit wants to be free. You know, you get miserable when you're not free. You get irritated. In fact, you don't even like yourself. And it seems like that no matter what you try to do is wrong. It just doesn't seem right. Man, what the heck's the problem? And that's how, you know, the word tells us that we're groaning within. We're groaning within to be more clothed, to be more dressed with the glory of God. Because our spirit, our new spirit man, now the old spirit man ain't nothing but a bonehead. He's a heathen. But our new man is the creation of the Most High God. It's in his image and likeness. It desires to be in his presence because it's home to him. But the new man, the old man's home is in lust, in the world. The old man loves the world. That's now your flesh. So for our new man to be freed, there's got to be something. Our soul must not only be renewed, but our flesh must be crucified. So, you know, we are made of a spirit, soul, and body that's from in to out, but from out to in, it's flesh, soul, body. What God wants to do is free our spirit so that we're no longer led by our soul or our flesh, but by his spirit. And there's a difference. See, when that begins to happen, when your spirit man gets free, it's free and it's connected with the presence of God in a constant. And that constant says, and that's because that's the promise, because you're merged with him who is joined with the Lord. And we are joined with the Lord in that arena. We don't look for pleasure in anything else because there is no other pleasure that's satisfied. You can't do a drug. You can't have as many relationships. No matter what kind of lust is involved, there is no satisfaction. Nothing satisfies but the presence of God. And in this, we no longer begin to hate things. See, when your spirit man is free, you hate anything that wants to bring contamination to it. That's why the word says that we are to hate evil. We don't want to touch, agree, or associate with anything that promotes bondage. Because we want our spirit man to be so free, so joyful. In that, there's much more clarity, there's more understanding, there's more wisdom. See, it's your spirit that communes with the spirit realm. Does everybody get it? So I'd rather have, that's why when you pray in tongues, what prays? Not your soul, not your flesh, not your mind, but your what? Spirit. Your spirit prays. And in that, so when we're praying in the spirit, we're praying directly to the Father, and everything else is out of the way. I believe that some of the major prayers is, free my spirit. Free my spirit. See, so many times, so many things are happening in individuals' lives that they're allowing it to crush their spirit. We can't allow the flesh or the soul to crush our spirit. We can't allow emotions or fear crush our spirit because it brings us into bondage. And when you are in the bondage, you are looking for everything else to fulfill but God's presence. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, free in your spirit. So the Holy Spirit said, I want to stretch my people this morning so that I can separate spirit, soul, and flesh. That's why we worshiped longer because he wanted us to bring us to another place. You know, again, until you penetrate, there cannot be infiltrate. We must first penetrate, then infiltrate, then the will can be manifested. Penetration is essential. We penetrate by worshiping God with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our will. We penetrate until we can infiltrate. We know we bust through. You can sense a bust through. Why? Because you can sense a touch. You can sense a change in you. If you haven't sensed that while you're worshiping, then you better worship a little bit harder. Because when you touch his heart, he touches yours. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Free in your spirit. Would you read it with me? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Wrong one. Okay, I'll read it with you. Verse 2. You therefore, my son, be what? Strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, be strong in what? In the plan. Amen? Be strong in the plan that's in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to what? Faithful men and women who will be able to what? Teach others. See, everybody should get to a position where you have found faithfulness, where God is putting things into you to share with others. Not because of something you've done, but because of something he's done. Verse 3, you therefore must what? Endure what? Hardship. In other words, there's going to be resistance. That's why you must penetrate. If you're not willing to penetrate, you'll always stay in the outer court. You'll always constantly seek salvation instead of seeking his glory. Therefore, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What's a soldier do? Go to sleep all day long? No. He fights. What's he fight for? To penetrate. Because once he penetrates, he can infiltrate. Once he infiltrates, he can manifest the will of God. Look at the angels are waiting on the other side. Does everybody get it? To do what? To fulfill the will of God in our life. But it's our responsibility to what? Penetrate. Here's the kicker. Are you okay? You ready? No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the what? Affairs of this life. Now, what the heck are the affairs of this life? They are the affairs of self. Self. Does everybody get it? Self associated with self and flesh. Me, myself, and I, the trinity of Satan. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Why? Because he ain't going to win warfare. He cannot penetrate. That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the what? Rules or the ways of God. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you what? Give you what? Understanding in all things. In other words, we've got to be careful. When he's asking me and you, he's saying, look, man, you cannot fight if you're still entangled. You won't win. So there's an area where we must entangle ourselves, untangle, loose ourselves. Amen? Why? Because these entanglements of self put our spirit in bondage. They affect our spirit, man. In Luke chapter 9. Oh, glory. You know, there is a time and season for everything, isn't there? And there's a time and a season in our lives that God has been waiting for. You know, let me just share this, that there are many who's not penetrated yet. Many. Man, you can go out, if the whole body of Christ was gathered together, you can definitely point out the ones that ain't penetrated yet. Because you'll know them by their fruit. Amen? You'll know them by their fruit. That's why the word says to be in 1 Peter in chapter 5, and it talks about that the devil's what? Seeking whom he can what? Devour. Let me tell you, penetration, when you penetrate, it's a place of refuge. He can't touch you there. He can touch you outside of it because we're easily swayed. We easily give in. But when we penetrate, because the enemy seeks whom he can devour, but it's, the word says something that we're to be alert, consistent. Alert and consistent. He means sober and vigilant. And what is that to? If you're digging for something and you know it's there, do you stop? No. You dig until you what? Find it. See, that's what he's looking for. He's waiting for me and you to find it. The word says if you seek him with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your will, you will what? Find him. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, let's speak it. Then he said to them all. He said to them all. Everyone say all. If anyone desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself, or let him what? Look at, untangle yourself in the affairs of this world. Take up his cross or his sword, right, daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And what's the rest of this? For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and he himself is destroyed or lost? In other words, He's so entangled with the affairs of the world that his purpose is to gain the things of the world. He's a lover of the world. He lives like the world, but proclaims to be a believer. For everyone who is ashamed of me and my works, of him, the Son of Man, will be ashamed when he comes into his glory and in his Father's and the holy and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly that there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. You know, there's an area where people taste death and not taste death. Death is associated with fear. Man, when it's time for us to go home, we should have peace, not torment. Amen? He says, deny yourself. In other words, the ways of the world, these are what entangle and enslave your spirit. They also contaminate. Again, we talked about, you know, hey, look, at when we're sick and whatever, we pray, we ask the Lord to heal us, so forth. And there's times when healing is a process, isn't there? Sometimes there's a instant healing. Amen? But no matter what a doctor says, doesn't mean it's that. That's it. I don't agree with doctors. I'll understand what they say. Does anybody understand that? But that's just a resource. I'm going to my source. If I maintain my source, and I know that God's going to use anyone or anything, even in the Word of God, what did Jesus use? He used saliva. He used mud. Hello? He used the presence of God. He used the Word of God. He also used fig leaves and stuff and certain foods, herbs that helped to heal people. Those were in the Word of God in the Old Testament. God can use anything to heal anyone. But the source is him. If you maintain him as the source and you wait, I can't tell you how many times I have been afflicted and I've ended up in the hospital, and many times I didn't when I should have because I was healed beforehand. I've been healed multiple times. And there's times when I was near dead. I waited for my healing. And they brought me to the hospital and they rushed me in before everybody else and said, this person be dead in 2 hours. I had pneumonia. I was waiting for the Lord to heal me. Maybe I should have waited those 2 other hours. And we might have talked to each other face to face. But I didn't like the way I was being healed. And I didn't like those antibiotics going in my body. Ugh. I could feel an invasion. Of course, the first ones didn't work. They didn't know what was up. But you know, God makes a way no matter what way we seem, if we'll allow him. Amen? If we'll allow him. So one of the things we want to do is continue to not only deny ourselves, and that's, listen, what the world counsels, okay, I hear that, yeah. But that's not my source. My source is not of the world. My source is truth. Amen? We must maintain that he is the source of everything, and he has the final decision. In Philippians chapter 3, why God wants to free our spirit so badly. Philippians chapter 3, in verse 7. There's a place that we've got to come to, and it is a constant. It's not something where it's a one-time event. It is a constant, and that is to constantly step out of your past. You must constantly step out of your past. Even though your past is constantly moving from you, the problem is people are still in the past. Has everybody got it? It's being on one of those escalator floors, you know, things that are moving all the time. Even though time is moving, they're still in the same position in the past. Is everybody with me? I think it's freaky when you do that on those things, you know. Yeah, you'd be knocked, this is wild, you know. I get amused by some of the simplest things. Hallelujah. In verse 7, let's speak it. But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain. So he's talking about things of a loss. That means things that are going past, but grabbing, looking to something to gain. So there's an area in our life for the go forward. We got to let go of some things. And if you're not willing to let go of some things, you cannot go forward. You'll stay on that same constant, not moving forward. Even though time is moving, you're not. Amen? Hallelujah. In verse 9, and to be what? Found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I what? I press on. I step out of my past. that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus is also what? Laid hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do is what? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. I do what? I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I am pressing forward. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the what? Same mind. We must be willing to step out of the past. The past will use your emotions to crush your spirit. Again, the past will use your emotions to crush your spirit. Does everybody get that? It causes us, now let me share this with you. One of the things it will cause you to do is misjudge yourself. It causes you to what? Misjudge yourself. Again, God is the God of love. Amen. He's omnipresent. He's present, past, and future, isn't he? He knows it all. He sees it all. One thing he wants to do is walk with us side to side. He wants us to look at him as to be led. The word said, David always said, I keep the Lord before me. Amen. So he's always looking to the Lord. But in present right now, we not only look to the Lord, but we walk with him. And one of the things the enemy wants to do is constantly remind you of your past, entangle you in the emotions of your past, entangle you in the affairs of your past, entangle you in the failures of your past, entangle you in all the things of your past, even your successes, so that you begin to rely on your past. Does everybody get this? And it brings us into bondage. Again, Lot's wife looked to the past, didn't she? And she became what? Stone. Because keeping attachments to your past hardens your heart. Does everybody get it? Let's go a little further. Ephesians chapter 2. God wants to free our spirit. In verse 1. Now this is his word. Amen. In verse 1, what does it say? And you he made alive who were what? Who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in what? Lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and by his plan you've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Now, for by grace or by his plan you've been what? Saved through faith. Faith is an action. You've accepted it. So what you did is you accepted what he said. So you believed, you received, and you began to execute. Where there's no execution, there's no faith. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his what? Workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should what? Walk in them. He made us new, alive in Christ with a new spirit, so that we can walk away from our past. Does everybody get this? People have a hard time walking away from their past. And it causes confusion. It causes conflict. It causes deception. It causes pain. It causes, and it begins to release things. It begins to release emotions where spirits get fed. A person that lives in the past, let me tell you, demons follow that person all over the place because they're easily, it's like they're like a vending machine of food. They tap on the shoulder, remind of the past, they push the button and get a treat. Push the button, anger, resentment, regret, hatred, addiction, hello, anything, they just... James chapter 1. So we got to empty this machine. Unplug it. So when the button is pushed, nothing's there but a bomb. A mini grenade comes out. Eat this, homie. Man, you got to hate evil. Glory. James chapter 1. In verse 2. Is everybody there? Let's speak this together. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So, it says, when you fall into various trials, not if. You are going to fall in various trials. You're supposed to. It's His will. I mean, it's God's will to me to fall in various trials? Yes. Why do you fall into various trials? So He can begin to separate the impurities. Hallelujah. Now look at this. Why are you going to? He tells us right here, verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith, the testing of your vision, the testing of your trust, the testing produces patience. That patience is endurance. So what's He trying to do? Strengthen you for another trial. What's He trying to do? Now, why would we want to constantly get strengthened? To penetrate more difficult places. Oh, glory. Aren't we soldiers? Unless you want to be a pew sitter or an usher or the head choir leader. Hello? That's not why we're here in this house. We're here in this house to be third-dimensional warriors, to penetrate, infiltrate, and rescue. Amen? But it starts with prayer, doesn't it? It starts with spiritual warfare. That's where so many people are weak. They are weak in prayer. Their prayer is, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, bless me. I need, I want. There's not enough I will. Verse 4. But let patience, which is endurance, have its what? Perfect work, that you may be perfect. How many all, look at, God, to be perfect, you got to get your spirit free. Why? Because we're perfect in Him, not in ourselves. That you may be perfect in what? Complete and lacking what? Everything? Nothing. That we lack nothing. Well, if there's a lack, that means the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Oh, hallelujah. Now, he says this, if anyone lacks wisdom, because that's the problem, where does wisdom come from? It comes from His presence. Does everybody get it? Wisdom comes from the presence of God. Knowledge comes from His word. But only wisdom can come from the presence of God. And wisdom tells you what to do. It assists you into discerning. That's why I said, man, what'd you do that for? I mean, you know why people do the things that you shouldn't do? Lack of presence of God. Not enough presence to release wisdom, which gives them what? Discernment. Amen? Now, when you make a mistake, does God hate you? No. That's where people constantly are misjudging themselves because they lose sight of God's love. And the only thing they're looking for is God's judgment. They think worst first. That's not how it is. Now, we want to rescue people from God's judgment. Amen? Those who are living outside of salvation's truth, which is lost. Of course, if you're touching unclean things and you're doing things according to the world and you're entangled in the affairs of the world, you become a child of wrath. Because you begin to serve darkness instead of light. Amen? Is everybody okay? All right, cool. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives it to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in what? Faith. With no what? Doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea given and tossed by the wind. But let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. Why? Doubt steals. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Wow. So doubt is the opposite of faith, isn't it? You know, people say they don't believe in God. The only reason why they say that is to make an excuse. It's just an excuse. Everybody believes in God. They just don't understand because they're living out of their head, not out of the spirit. There's many atheists. I don't believe in God. But it's amazing that when death comes near them, they go, oh, God. Why? Because it's natural. Oh, dear Lord. You know. Many use the name of the Lord in vain, but they speak it, you know. Comes out of their mouth. It's amazing how they'll use God's name, even though they don't believe, because we came from the presence of God. You can't deny that. You can't run from it. You can't avoid it. That's it. Trials are to remove the impurities, testing, and to test our trust. It's for promotion. What's He trying to do? He wants to release His promises to each and every one of us. So that's why we become perfect and complete. We're not lacking nothing. Building endurance for a stronger position. Amen? We are building endurance for a stronger position in the Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 7. Oh, the glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. You know, while we were worshiping, there's that place where you're connected to the Spirit, man. Yeah. And I began to sense in my spirit, and the Spirit was saying, come on, fight, go further, go further. The Spirit was, come on, battle, get closer, get closer. Well, some people were getting closer. Some people were quitting. And they began to actually drift. See, there's a place. It's almost like, you know, did you ever see a water skier? You know, the boat pulls and then the person's skiing. You know what happens when they let go? They sink, don't they? There's no more movement. But when they hold on, there's constant movement. And in that constant movement, they're actually putting something into practice, and they get better. They get better. They get better. You know, when we used to do our Friday night anointing services, man, we'd worship for 3 and 4 hours. And there'd be people, we'd have people that were, you know, bodybuilders and strong, and they come in and quit after 3 songs and tell them, man, you need endurance. It's amazing how you can endure in the gym, but you can't endure to get in God's presence. That means something's blocking you. Amen. And as we continue to get further and further and worship, I saw things going, pew! I saw things leaving people, leaving them. In other words, it was almost like we were getting loosened. We're getting loose. And that's when the Holy Spirit said, come on, pray. Now command those spirits to leave. Why? Because they were losing. They couldn't hold on any longer. And then when we began to do the oil, man, we became oiled up. They came slipping off. And they couldn't hold on because of the presence of God was beginning to loose them from us. Some of them were still holding on. That's why we had to just do that last prayer and cut loose everything. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Let's go. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves from what? All filthiness of the flesh and of the what? Oh, of the flesh and of the spirit. Doing what? Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. I did not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts and to die together and to live together. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our what? Tribulation. I'm exceedingly joyful. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were what? Conflicts. And inside were what? Fears. Nevertheless, God who comforts the downcast comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you when he told you of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoice even more. For even if I made you sour with my letter, I did not regret it, though I did regret it, for I perceived that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Only for a while. Only for a while. In other words, there was conviction brought sorrow. They became sorry, but there wasn't a true repentance. Verse 9 again. Now I rejoice that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to what? Repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces what? Repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces what? Death. So in this, again, we are stepping out of our past. Many people are they're mourning. They mourn because of letting go of the world. They're afraid to let go of the world. They're afraid to let go of the entanglements in the world. They sorrow. But yet, they're willing to commit sin and not willing to repent. He says, cleanse your spirit and flesh by repentance and stepping out of the past into the future. That's why Jesus said, I am, not I was. Amen? And this is where you got to say, I am in him. I am because he is. Amen? In 2 Timothy chapter 20, these are things that free our spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 20, 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm sorry, verse 20. Snap. We'll be adding on to Timothy's book. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. Again, so many times we misjudge ourselves. We begin to judge ourselves in the wrong manner. We actually begin to condemn ourselves. Amen? And we condemn ourselves by some of the words that we speak. Man, I can't believe I did that. That's okay. I can't believe I did that. That's done and over with. Then you repent. But I just can't do that. I'll never do this. I'm just no good. Does everybody get this? Now you're condemning yourself. And the enemy shows up. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20, what does it say? But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, if he's willing to walk out of his past, He will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now, I was walking on a path for a one-time event. No, it is constant. Even right now, God is making a way for each and every one of us to walk out of our past to free our spirit. Verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness. Now, youthful lust means when we were younger. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. In other words, man, be careful of your associations. You're hanging around people that aren't calling out of God on a pure heart. You want to hang around with Willoughbys, not wannabes. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach. Patient and humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Correcting, not judging. Now, I judge people by fruit. When I see a bad fruit, then correction comes. It's not to condemn a person, it's to rescue them from hell and from a life of torment. And humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them what? Repentance, so that they may know the truth. In other words, so that they can repent and turn. Turn away from what? The past. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Do his will. I don't think anybody in here wants to do the will of the devil. Most people in the world don't want to do the will of the devil, unless they're actually servants of the devil. But you know when you are and you know when you're not. Amen? Every human does. Every human knows when they're doing the will of the devil and the will. Because if you're not doing the will of God, who else are you doing the will of? It's real simple. That's how you discern. You don't have to go to college and all that either. When you cleanse yourself from your past, you are walking away from your past. You repent and you turn. You're cutting loose from the entanglements that bring captivity. How many of y'all know regret? There's a bunch of R's I want to talk about. Regret, rejection. These are all entanglements of your past. Regret, rejection, resentment, revenge, rebellion, react, and retaliation. There's more, but that's sufficient for now. These are the reason why they're re, because it connects you to what was. Re is associated with what was. Amen? Hebrews chapter 12. We got to free our spirit. Hebrew chapter 12, and verse 1. Let's speak it. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. You know what those cloud of witnesses are? Angels all around. Yeah. That's a cloud of witnesses all around. Everything's being recorded. Nothing gets past God. He knows our intent. He knows our motives. He knows everything about me and you. You cannot outwit God. Just don't work that way. He knows whether we're willing to do whatever it takes. He knows whether we're willing to penetrate. He knows everything. So he says this, let us, what? Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto what? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons and daughters. My child, my son, my daughter, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. How many of y'all know God that corrects us? He changes us. He spanks us. Do not be discouraged when you are rebuked, corrected, spanked. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son he receives. Snap. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as his son or daughter. It's amazing how many times people run. They get offended when God corrects them. People get offended when someone corrects them. Offense builds barrier, promotes self. That means they're still, they haven't left their past yet. Easily, people who are easily offended are still living in the past. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had parents, fathers, who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and what? Live. For they indeed for a few days chasten us and seem best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his divine nature, which is his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Trained by it. Again, remember, all your trials and tribulations are for separating us from impurities and training us for endurance. Jesus himself suffered. He suffered. Part of his sufferings was for obedience. He learned from his sufferings. Amen? I've learned from my sufferings, although I prefer to learn from somebody else's. Hallelujah. We're to lay aside. We're to move forward into his presence and of the presence, allowing his spirit, your spirit, to be free. Then we walk in joy. We walk before, you know, we're led by his spirit. We're able to do things in the spirit. You know, there's something powerful. The word says that when we are weak, then we are strong. That means you finally come to the end of you. When you finally come to the end of you, you're walking away from yourself. You're walking out away from your spirit. You are stepping into the future. You are stepping out of the past. You're constantly moving forward. You're not allowing the entanglements to hold you. They're weights, they're chains. It's like, you know, the old saying, the chain and ball thing that people drag with them. And it brings discouragement. It brings oppression. It can't set the person's spirit free. And God wants to set our spirits free. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. So for when I'm weak, well, because I'm weak in the flesh. God wants me to be strong in the spirit and the power of his might, but weak in the flesh. And to where my flesh does not dictate my decisions. Amen? 2 Peter chapter 1. Freeing your spirit. What is it going to take? Stepping out of your past. Amen? You must step out away from your past. Now, it doesn't mean you divorce your wife and go forward. Hello? That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about your past sins, your past entanglements and affairs of this world. Amen? You step out of it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, bondservant, apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who we have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly and great and precious what? Promises, that through these you may be partakers of the what? Divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Through love. But also by this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance. To perseverance what? Godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and they abound in you, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we will constantly bear more fruit. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. In other words, he's still caught where? In the past. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Psalm 101. Hallelujah. Penetrating Psalm. Let's speak it together. I will what? I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a what? Perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me, and I will not know wickedness. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and proud heart, him I will not endure. My eye shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early will I destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the what? Evildoers from the city of the Lord. That's someone who's what? Warfaring, penetrating. Amen? Pressing through. Willing to penetrate, to infiltrate, so that the manifestation of God's will can come forth. In Galatians chapter 5. Almost there. Galatians chapter 5. When we are when his divine nature begins to express, that means your spirit is getting more and more free. Does everybody get this? His divine nature is, it cannot be expressed with a bound spirit or a contaminated one. It's expressed with a spirit that's been set free. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast therefore in the what? Liberty, which means what? Freedom, by which Christ has made us free, and not to be what? Entangled again with the world or the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And if you become religious, I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law or by your works, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from the Lord who called you. This persuasion comes from who? The enemy who purposes. Let me tell you something about the enemy. He purposes preconceived ideas or notions. He purposes that. People have, in other words, negative preconceived notions. How many times have, when the first thing that came to you was, a thought came, well, the Lord, I don't know if the Lord's going to do that. The Lord's not going to do that. No, he's not going to do that. Or this person's not going to, or this person's going to do this, or when it's a negative thing. That's what the enemy does. He releases a preconceived notion or idea of negativity. And you know what that person does? Tells it to someone else. Oh, the Lord, man, he, no way. Well, he didn't do it to me. He didn't answer my prayer on that. Does everybody understand that? You know, the enemy's always coming in that way with a preconceived notion or idea. That's his function. What does it do? Keep you contaminated, keep your spirit bound. Keep you in prison. And when he can cage you, you know when something's caged, the master does? An evil master? He torments that which is encaged. He torments it. Verse 8, this persuasion does not come from the Lord who calls you. Verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind. But he who troubles you, you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Hello? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. But for you, brethren, have been called to freedom. Only do not use this freedom as an opportunity to fulfill the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Works of the laws, works of self. This persuasion must be understood that it is from the unseen realm of influence and will cause an agreement with you. And when you agree with it, it attaches and it brings negative reactions, it brings bondage, it brings contamination. We must continue to step out of the past into the present future. I say present future because when you begin to walk, when you live from the future to the present, it's called present future. Because you're walking in present time, but also living from the future. Does everybody understand that? And of course, it's with the presence of the Lord. There's got to be a time when we are fully renewing the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions, and imaginations, crucifying the flesh and cleansing the spirit so that our spirit can be freed and to do the will of God. In Romans 8:12, listen, if your spirit is still in bondage, it cannot be led. Does everybody get it? Sometimes we have to be carried. Hello? Sometimes it's like the Lord comes and just whoosh, and carries you. You get to, I don't even know how I got here. Every door is shut. Only this door opens. So I went through it. See, when you're led, he doesn't lead you to a shut door. He leads you to the open door. There's a difference. You don't have to go through multiple doors that are shutting. He leads you to the open door, not a shut one. It's different, being led. Romans 8:12. Is everybody there? Therefore, brethren, we are what? That is not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Now, according to the flesh is according to the old man, isn't it? So if you're still living in the past, hello, if you're not still walking away from the past, then you're still bound, aren't you? Yesterday's gone. It's over with. There's nothing you and I can do about it. We cannot go back and change yesterday. In fact, I can't even go back and change when I stepped in this building, and neither can you. But I can be changed when I leave this building. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will what? You will live. For as many as are led, many as are led, many as are led by who? The Spirit of God. These are what? Sons of God. In this you are joined. Your spirits are joined. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of what? Sin and death. Oh, snap. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the what? Spirit of bondage again to what? Fear. For you received the spirit of what? Adoption. We have received the spirit of adoption. Thank God. In other words, I'm cutting loose from the old, from my parents of the world. I'm being adopted to the eternal parent. See, if you're not willing to let go, then you're still living in the past, and you'll be tormented. I thank God for my parents. Amen. But he's my true parent. He's my dad. He's the one I desire, the one I want to please, the one I want to live for. But I still have to honor my parents because it pleases him. So if I'm in relationship with him, I do everything that I want to do to please him. Amen. But you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, what? Abba, Father, Daddy. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, no more slaves. And if children, then what? Heirs. Man, we're so important. We're more than who we think we are. And we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him. Now, what's the suffering going to do? That's trials and tribulations. It's going to what? Remove impurities and set your spirit free, that we may also be glorified together. Listen, I consider that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now look at this. For we know that the whole creation, what? Groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we are saved in this hope. But hope that's not seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? If we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance, endurance. And I want to close in Philippians 3. Oh, glory. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Man, the Lord wants to set our spirit free. Philippians chapter 3, glory. In verse 17, let's speak it together. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on what? Earthly things. So if you set your mind on earthly things, are you entangling yourself again? Yes. Yes, you entangle yourselves in the affairs of the world again. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he also even to subdue. He was able to even subdue all things to himself. So, brother, join in following him as an example and allow your spirit to be free. Come out, walk away from your past, and stop entangling ourselves in the affairs of this world with false fulfillments, false promises, and false deception. Amen? Father, we are honored and blessed of your word. Let this seed be imparted in each and every one of us and be protected with the blood of Christ. Lord, free our spirits that we may walk in true spirit and in power, that we may worship you in truth and in spirit, and that we may live a life of pleasing to you, not of man, but pleasing to you, and glory to your name, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.